thank you so much. I am really delighted to be back at Unity. I love this community. I love having the opportunity to speak here. And it's especially, I think, meaningful to me this summer after in June having the privilege and blessing of ordaining your own beloved Brit Hall. And also that the amazing voices in Unity Choir blew the lid off of Riverside Church that June afternoon. I woke up yesterday morning actually to a text from Britt, who sends you his love. He and Lewis are traveling through Turkey with their friend David Alt, and yesterday visited the mausoleum where the Sufi poet and mystic Rumi is buried. So I'm sure when he comes back, he will have lots of stories and lots of wisdom to share with you from the trip. The Polynesian creation story tells us that the world began when Taora, which is their name for the creator, woke one morning to find himself contained in a shell. He stretched, and as the shell broke, the earth was created. A little while later, he woke again and again found himself contained and constricted in a shell. And again he stretched, and when the shell broke, the earth, the sun, and the moon were all in being. Yet again he awoke to find himself cramped and constrained. And this time, the breaking and stretching brought forth the stars. The wisdom in this ancient story is that each of us lives by breaking successive shells. That the peace of God that is inside of each of us needs to stretch until there's no more room to be. And when that happens, the world as we know it may shatter. We live who we are until that identity and way of being can no longer hold us, till we have no more room to breathe. And then we have to break the container of form of our identity, in order to give birth to our next self. We're all in this room this morning because we care about our spiritual lives. We care about continuing to grow. Leo Tolstoy once wrote, "Grow spiritually and help others to do so. That is the meaning of life." That certainly has been the case in my own life and in the work that I've done. And it really is the core of everything we do at One Spirit. And I believe it's the core of everything that you do here at Unity. Sometimes that experience of growth feels natural and joyful, expansive and easy. But there are other times, especially times of real transformation, qualitative, not just quantitative change, when the process of growth feels really, really hard, demanding, arduous, sometimes even terrifying, because it can feel like our entire world is cracking and breaking apart. And in a very real sense, it is. Because with real transformation, an old sense of self dies. An old identity, an old way of being that served us for a time, but serves us no longer, must be released and discarded. There are times when the peace of God that is inside of us has stretched as far as possible until there's no more room. And the old container, the old form, has to break apart so that something new and wondrous and unpredictable can be born. In his book, Illusions, Richard Bach wrote that what the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly. But when we still believe we're the caterpillar, that's a really scary time. One of my favorite cartoons shows two caterpillars walking along the ground, and there's a butterfly flying above them. One of the caterpillars turns to the other, points up, and said, "You're never going to get me up in one of those things." You've never felt that way, have you? Me either. But there does come a time when, even if we're afraid, we need to stretch. As Anais Nin said, a day comes when the risk to remain tight in a bud is more painful than the risk that it takes to blossom. So let's look together this morning at this process of transformation, what I call our journey to wings. This journey always begins with a quality and experience of deep listening. And Native American elder Sakej Henderson says that to truly listen, is to risk being changed forever. Something inside of us begins to stir. We begin to sense that something needs to change. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "We are constantly invited to be what we are." We are constantly invited to be what we are. And the invitation that we're asked to pay attention to and listen to may come either from outside of us or from inside ourselves. It may come as synchronicity. It may show up in our lives as an unexpected opportunity. It may come as discomfort and discontent, what Eric Butterworth called divine discontent. Excuse me one second. I hope I did that better than Marco Rubio. It may come as the stirring of creative possibilities and excitement, as inner promptings, or as outer demands and challenges. It may come as something that we clearly choose, or it may seem to be thrust upon us by outside events, by decisions other people make, by things seemingly beyond our control. And we may resist this invitation. We may resist these promptings for a while, because as poet E.E. Cummings tells us, it takes great courage to grow up and turn out to be who you really are. I was fascinated to learn that there are some caterpillars who, when it comes time to climb the grass or the branch and spin the chrysalis, procrastinate. There's actually a name for it. It's called a diapause. And these caterpillars will sometimes put off the process of metamorphosis for anywhere from a couple of days to months or even years. But of course, when they do that, life as a caterpillar is pretty vulnerable, isn't it? I'm sure you've noticed at the times in your own life that if you keep refusing to listen, the invitation gets louder and louder and louder. A friend of mine used to say, "How big does the 2x4 that whacks me upside the head have to be before it finally gets my attention?" So even if we resist, there will come a time that we say yes. That we say yes to what is calling us from within to grow and evolve and become more of who we're created to be. And even when we take that step of saying yes, it's still scary. Because our old way of being, our old identity, even if uncomfortable, even if limiting, at least is familiar and gives us some sense of safety. They've done research with fish raised in an aquarium. They raised some little fish in a corner of an aquarium with a glass barrier to keep them in the small space. And as the fish got older, they removed the glass barriers. And what they found is that the fish that were raised inside that small space didn't swim outside of it. They stayed in their familiar comfort zone. And we do that too. To go beyond the familiar, to go beyond our comfort zone, to let go of an old identity, an old way of thinking and feeling about ourselves, an old way of being in the world, may feel like an enormous risk and even a threat to our very survival. So what does it take to actually do that? First, it takes courage, which is a quality of strength and a bigness of heart. Courage really is a bigness of heart. And it is rooted not in bravado, but in our capacity to love. One of my favorite scenes in any movie is from the old movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. In that film, Indiana Jones's father, who was played by Sean Connery, is wounded. And the only thing that will save him is the Holy Grail. And the father and Indiana Jones are on one side of this vast chasm, and the Grail is on the other side. It is way too big for him to jump across. So there he is. His father is dying, begging for his help. The help is on the other side, and he has no way to get there. So what does he do? He steps out. He steps out into the void. And when he does that, a bridge appears. But what I love about that scene is that the whole bridge doesn't appear at once. It would be really nice if it did. If as soon as we take one small step, the whole way is cleared for us. But it doesn't happen. With every step he takes, the next piece of the bridge appears under his feet. So what that also tells us is that this process really requires faith. And the quality of faith that we need, mature faith, doesn't mean that we have the expectation that God is going to make it turn out exactly the way we think we would like it to. A priest friend of mine once said, "You know that you're growing in faith when you stop treating God like a vending machine." You know, so often we think of our prayers as like coins, so we put in our coins, and then we expect that we should be able to pull the knob of our choosing and get what we want, right? That is a level of faith, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is the quality of faith that knows that it is God's will for you to grow into the fullness and the richness and the spiritual magnitude of who God created you to be, and that you will be given everything you need in the way of resources to be able to do that. As the saying goes, when you come to the edge of all that you know, you must trust that one of two things will happen. Either you will be given wings to fly, or there will be ground under your feet. In the process that the caterpillar goes through, when it spins the chrysalis, it is attached to the branch through something called a cremaster, which is like a little piece of Velcro on the belly of the caterpillar. And by attaching to that branch, it stays steady through whatever weather comes, through wind, through rain, through whatever happens. That attachment keeps it safe. And that's what we bring into our lives, our cremaster during times of transformation, is really our spiritual practice. It's our daily prayer, our daily meditation, whatever allows us to feel connected to the divine. And also through the support of our spiritual community, a community like this, or a community like One Spirit. The process of transformation also asks of us the quality of patience, which is really the willingness to hang out in uncertainty and discomfort. One of the most powerful metaphors of transformation, one of the most powerful archetypal stories in Western consciousness is, of course, the Easter story, the transformation of crucifixion into resurrection. And one of the things we need to notice about that story is the in-between time, is the time in the tomb. Transformation actually takes place in the darkness, in what we can think of as womb time. That so often in our lives, what feels like tomb time is really womb time, is really a fertile void. And that's what happens to the caterpillar. It actually hangs upside down in the dark, in the chrysalis. The old form dissolves. It literally becomes a nutrient soup. And it's out of that, in the darkness, that the butterfly is born. Obviously, we don't live in a culture that puts much value on waiting or patience. We want instant everything. And so this in-between time can be really uncomfortable. And we can feel really anxious and uncertain. And the temptation when that happens is either to try to go back to the old way of being, or to hope that we can somehow magically skip over the steps that we need to take to grow into our next expression of self. Neither one works. Neither one works. And the final quality of this transformation process that I want to speak about has to do with that. And that's the quality of effort. It's the quality of doing the hard work of spiritual growth. In my opinion, one of the most unfortunate ideas to come out of New Age teaching is the idea that life should always be easy. And that if we have to work hard at something, we must be doing it wrong. At best, that is just silly. At worst, it actually robs us of our potential to develop real mastery in life. Every athlete, every artist knows that to get really good at what we care about, to get really good at it, takes work, takes effort, takes practice. For the last couple of years, my husband and I had a young classical pianist living in our home. And this young man is incredibly, incredibly gifted, just a brilliant, brilliant artist with tremendous sensitivity and musicality. And he would practice hours and hours and hours every single day. People who have happy, enduring marriages work hard at growing beyond our natural self-centeredness to grow and expand their capacity to truly love another as themselves. And the Dalai Lama still gets up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning, to meditate and pray. It's the effort that the butterfly makes to break out of the cocoon that forces blood into its wings, so that it has the strength to fly. Without that work, without that effort, it will never fly. And neither will we. Rumi has a poem that says, "Work. Keep digging your well. Don't think about getting off from work. Water is there somewhere. Submit to a daily practice. Submit to a daily practice." Somewhere else he tells us that what 40 weeks in the womb does for an embryo, 40 mornings of practice does for our souls. Keep knocking, he tells us, and eventually the joy inside will open a window and look out to see who's there. We have to keep knocking. And the joy inside will open a window and welcome us. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that I believe that in addition to this work of transformation that each of us is called to individually, that we are also now called as humanity to do this work of waking up. The evolutionary biologist Elizabeth Sartoris has written about in the process of metamorphosis, the DNA of the butterfly, which is different from the DNA of a caterpillar, is already present in the caterpillar in something that are called imaginal cells. Isn't that amazing? Imaginal cells, contain the DNA of the butterfly. And these imaginal cells begin to appear, and at first the immune system of the caterpillar sees them as enemy, as threat, and attacks them and destroys them. But they keep coming, and they keep multiplying, and they begin to find each other, and they begin to form clusters. And as they do that, as they grow in strength, the caterpillar's immune system can't stand against them. And the old form breaks down. So the new form, held in those imaginal cells, can come into being. That's what we're doing here together. We are the imaginal cells for the new humanity that is wanting to be born on this earth. And coming together in community where we can support each other to deeply, deeply listen, where we can uphold each other in our courage and our faith, where we can champion waiting through those times of difficulty and uncertainty, is an essential part of what is wanting to be born today. The Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh has said that the Buddha of the future is the Sangha, that the awakening of humanity will come not through a single enlightened teacher, but through authentic community. And so I thank you for being here. I thank you for your willingness to walk this journey. I thank you for opening to the possibility that you are an imaginal cell for the future butterfly of humanity. And I thank you for letting me share with you this morning. May we all be blessed on our journey to wings.
Thank you, Reverend Diane, for sharing.
And so we breathe deeply and allow our attention to gently move to the inner chamber of the heart. The place of our deepest peace. The place of our true knowing. The place in the stillness of our being where we hear God speak. This morning we are so blessed as we recognize that if there is some aspect of our current life that seems confining. Some place where we are being asked to grow beyond our comfort zone and become more of who we are created to be. That the existence of this experience in our lives is truly the movement of the divine within us. God's invitation. These places may be large or small. Perhaps God is asking you to learn to say no. Or perhaps God is asking you to learn to say yes. Is God asking you to learn to speak up? Or perhaps God is asking you to learn to be quiet and to listen to others instead of needing to be the center of attention all the time. God may be asking some of us to tell ourselves a hard truth about our job or a relationship. God may be calling some of us to stand up publicly and give voice to what we most deeply and passionately care about. Whatever it is, we recognize this edge as the place where the peace of God inside of us wants to stretch, to break the shell of our limitations and our fears, and to birth a fuller expression of life. And we are so blessed to know that God gives us the capacity for deep listening, for courage, for faith, for patience, for strength and willingness to do the work so that our own transformation may support the healing of the world. And so we take a few moments now just to rest in the presence of these blessings and these gifts from God. as we gently bring our awareness back to this room and this community, we recognize that we are so blessed to come together here, to be part of this wonderful convergence of imaginal selves. To support the larger awakening and transformation ready to be birthed on this planet. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And so we say thank you, God. And we say yes. And together we say, Amen.